Praise God. We are so happy today to have Sister Brooke home. Want her to say a word.
Oh, well, it's good to be home. I miss you guys, and I know there's lots of prayers coming from this church, and I want y'all to know that I really appreciate it, and I'm thankful to be here this morning, and I'm thankful that we serve an awesome God and a Lord that there's nothing impossible for Him, and I know that He's been doing a lot of great things in my life, and I'm thankful to be home this morning, and really appreciate all your prayers.
Praise God. Certainly happy to have all of you here today and to have a place that offers the greatest commodity that any human could ever want. Everything that is needed to make life peaceful, powerful, and glorious is offered in this building. The transforming energy for that is always present to make that possible. Not just offered, but the power to make it possible is available. Whosoever will, the Bible said, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. How much, how great we are, all depends upon how much water of the Spirit and bread of the Word that we imbibe and believe into our life. We can have as much as we want or as little as we want, but the table is full here today. Could we thank Him for that wonderful oasis and that wonderful feast? Thank you, Father, today that we can become whatever we choose to be, because Your Word has no boundaries. Your Spirit has no limitations. And we come to this house today in the middle of what all is going on, knowing that by partaking of Your divine nature, we become a part of that divine success. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Isn't it a joy today to be here? That's right. All four of you. Hallelujah. There is truly nothing greater than being a pastor of a people that appreciate the teaching and the preaching of the Word of the Lord. It's always a joy to seek His face, because I know that there are people going to be here every service that are hungry for everything God birthed them for. I promise you, He didn't give you life to have to always be underneath the problems. He gave you life so you could become such a success in this world that the next world would be the most appreciable part of anything you ever even dreamed of. I want us to move quickly. We're going to deviate today because I feel like God has a interruption for us in the middle of all that's going on. And so I want us to move into this lesson today. The Bible said the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask. I guess it was Monday morning, starting off the week. My prayer that morning started off something like this. Lord, I know exactly what I need, and I didn't get much further than that. He tapped me on the shoulder gently and said, you do? And I'm like, man, how many times do I have to go through this to get it? And it was just as if He was trying to tell me that most people do think they know what they need. David finally came to the place where he said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So evaluating that just a little bit, you start seeing that we need the bread that will feed us to defy the enemy, not alleviate the enemy, but that would overcome. And how many of you know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word? Now, let me just throw in this here little appetizer. I would not serve a God that would require more of me than he could afford me. I just wouldn't do it. If he required out of me to give my life to him, and he would not give his life to me, I just think I'd have a hard time really getting into praise and worship. There is not anyone that doesn't have a legitimate right to shout and praise God if you just had one slice of bread to eat. That's enough to praise him for. Here's why. The Bible said every good, and then he extends it to an every perfect. But somebody say every good and every perfect gift cometh from above the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, one of the things he talked to me about as I exposed my ignorance, I know what I need. He began to show me some areas. And in the middle of all of that, one of the things that we wait on is what we want, not what we need. We started off as children doing that. We have an American heritage that gives to us so much more than we need. In the book of Haggai, the prophet looked over the hills of time and saw all that man would build, all that man would develop. And he then made a comment, and he said, let me tell you, you dwell in sealed houses, or houses that appeal to your physical taste. You enjoy making money, but it winds up in bags that have holes in it. In other words, it doesn't bring the profitability to your life that I intended for profitability to bring. And he said, and for that, you don't have peace that passes understanding. You don't have joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't have strength to be able to lift the guy out of the ditch and get him to the hospital or the hotel where rest and healing take place. He said, I want to restore that. So the Joel comes along and he said, I want to restore it. And that's part of our lesson today. But I want you to understand, God is not interested in your 80 years here as much as he is in your eternal welfare over there. And so he's allowing us, how many of you know, he's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, I marvel at the crowd you're walking with that constantly are saying, and I had actually one of the pastors in the city. I sat with him at coffee a few weeks ago and he said, you know, the Bible is just so complicated. Well, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Well, let's just take a little test here this morning, you know, just to see how complicated it is. Repent or perish. Now, how complicated is that? I mean, like, how many weeks of study in a National Geographic or college course do you have to take to understand repent or perish? He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I mean, is that like hard to understand? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I mean, like how hard? I mean, I even get that. Hello? And the leaders are saying how complicated it is. You know where the complication is? I've studied this thing for years, listening to that harassment to God. He said it's so simple that a fool can't miss it. That's what God said. And these people are constantly castigating. Let me tell you what's hard about it. Let me tell you what complicates it. Is we want God to do it on our clock and our way and within our framework of thought patterns. Now, that does complicate it when your wife wants to do it a different way. I mean, I worked for years to get that. And some of you are like, it complicates life when your husband don't want to do what you want to do. That's what complicates life. When the kids don't want to do what the parents decide to do, that does complicate life. And the complication can only be erased by truth. Our world gladly confesses that the Word can set you free, but I'm going to tell you that any truth can set you free. Amen. Your breath stinks can be one of the greatest things that a friend can do for you. The rest of your friends may have a good day if one friend can get through to you and tell you, your breath stinks. Truth sets you free. And so I hear people that are living in prison saying, I just wish the rest of the whole world would get into truth. Because only the willing and the obedient eat the good. Only the hearer of the word develops increased faith. Only the hearer. And so what the Bible warns us, not remembering exactly where it is in the Bible right now, but it is there. There is coming a famine of the hearing of the word. Never have we had so many people go into church and wound up with so little faith in the world. Faith says God can do anything, everything. He is above all, through all, and in you all. You can't even breathe without life. Now, here again, in Him, every good and perfect gift. Now, I know this is going to blow your mind, but I'm going to just, this again is part of what me and him talked about after I told him I had, knew what I needed, and he started telling me what I needed, and I said, okay, let's go with that. Nobody, including your kids, owes you anything. If you've loaned money to somebody, you've gone against the word. The Bible says, be not a lender without one understanding. That you would have never had what you have if I wouldn't have given you the good things I've given you. And he said, the borrower becomes a servant to the lender. He has a whole lot to say. I taught on it years ago and probably need to teach on it again, but It's amazing because we get to saying they owe, and here's what happens when people owe us and don't pay us. We start unforgiveness. And unforgiveness develops a spirit that doesn't bring His glory. I know that's not what people in your world out yonder want to hear, but truth still makes us free. Here it is. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of light. You would have had nothing to give if He hadn't given it to you. And what you have that is any good came from Him. So it wasn't yours anyhow. But it sure is nice to have it pass through our hands, isn't it? And I enjoy it when it does. And I thrill for you when it passes through your hands. But don't let Satan contaminate you and mess up what God has got going in your life. Because I, years ago when I studied that, and I just would tell people, they come to me and want to borrow, and sometimes occasionally people will come to the church and want to borrow money, and I tell them, look, we don't loan money. Now, if you ever want to, if we give you some money and you want to put it back, that's great. But we're never going to hold you accountable at this church. If I loan you money, I'm giving it to you. And so I don't give anything I can't afford to give. If I can't do without it, I'm not going to do it. I thought somebody would say amen.
Amen.
John 7:11, for many, somebody tell me what a deceiver is. Not always just, I mean, it amounts to a lie, but go ahead and identify it a little more. Not honest, that's part of it for sure. But they appear credible. And you wish you could disappear them when you find their incredibility. Don't try it. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, I want to take you hurriedly to your prayer life. The Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit. For every spirit that does not confess that Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So I don't care what the thought is, and if you'll watch your prayer life, and again, I would never serve a God that would require more of me than He would give to me. So if you're praying and you're not hearing from God, slow down. Because I promise you, He's not mute. And I further promise you, this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask of Him, we have the desires of our heart. I mean, we're in postgraduate stuff right here. This is not elementary kindergarten. We don't have much longer to live, and I want to learn as best I can. And I pledge to Him no longer than just last night, Brother Brown, just about where you and your son-in-law are sitting. I pledge to Him, I'm here for one reason, and that is to please You and to do everything I can to make sure anybody that listens to me goes to Your holy city, because I am committed to this kingdom. It is my heartbeat. I can't make anybody go. Can't make your children go. Can't make your family go. Cannot make one of you go. But I'm going to try to put on the table the bread that will satisfy the need of your soul so that God can give you the fullness of your inheritance. So when you're praying, let me encourage you this. Don't just use vain repetition. I think I told this to you, but it's worth bearing again. I was at camp meeting, and Brother Holly asked all the preachers to come for an early morning prayer, and man, I came, and I really got with it. And I hadn't gone 3 minutes, well, again, and that's why I love the Holy Ghost. He just real, you know. I just like, boom, right up against my head. And said, you might as well stay in bed. I'm like, what? Man, you ought to hear these prayers. Evidently, you can't hear how good they are. He said, your heart's not in them. He said, you're repeating a prayer you prayed 10 years ago that you developed, and your brain remembers that prayer because on that day, you got an answer because it was your heartbeat. And I answered your heart, not your head. And you've remembered it. And if you'll notice, and I'm just confessing to you because I believe it's right to do it. You can push the play button on some phenomenal prayers that your brain remembered. And those prayers got an answer. But Matthew, the 6th chapter, tells us that vain repetition don't gain anything in the spirit kingdom. Your heart's got to get in it. I mean, anybody listening in to the audio of my prayers that day, I got some really good prayers that I've created about this church. And back then when I created those prayers, they were created by a heart of passion. And I could recite some of them to you today, and you'd be pretty impressed. But heaven's not impressed with a heartless prayer. The spirit world will not concede to a heartless prayer. Pray with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get the quadruplets together and pour it out. God, right now, in this class, give me an answer for my city. God, in this class, give me an answer for hope in my life. God, I'm not waiting on another day. My heart is hungry, and I will gladly receive anything you can tell me that will relieve the horrible pressure. We're all going through something, and God's got some answers for us today. He is not a God that's far off. He's close. But he will not respond to just a weak smile. You got to give it wholeheartedly. That's it. Look up to him right now, and you don't have to physically look up, but just look up and tell him, God, you are my life, with some passion. And when you pray, when you touch the hem of his garment, and we see the picture so clearly, when you pray with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, there is a divine response. Even if it's just, the Bible calls it, the edge of his ways, he will respond. But just to go through some good-sounding resuscitation or recital, that's not impressive to God, and it does very little for people when there is no response from God. So praying deliberately, God, first of all, if my ears can't hear what your real answer is, would you heal my ears? If I can't hear and understand what you're saying, would you heal my mind? If I cannot pray the kind of prayer that needs to be prayed, would you kind of direct my thoughts? If you cannot understand and respond to the weakness of even whatever, God, would you touch me and let somebody say something, even if it angers me at first? Would you do something to wake me up and let me know there is a God and I can trust that God, and He is well capable of handling everything I'm going through? Could we talk to Him right now and give Him some holy praise? Any spirit, thought, feeling that does not confess that Christ has come in the flesh, would you read the rest of it? It's not of God. Maybe it's not here. That's in another scripture. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Somebody say antichrist. It's not only a deceiver, it is an antichrist. That's why right now the oneness message means more than ever before. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things. Somebody say those things. He goes beyond doctrine here. He goes beyond the teachings here. He said, don't you lose anything that I've ever done for you. Don't let that get out there and get corrupt and lost off in the junk of the world. He said, you remember every time I did answer a prayer. You remember every time I did meet your need. You remember every time, and you'll be a praiser. And when you become a praiser, you evacuate every thought that's discouraging, disheartening, and etc. Because praise for Him brings His presence. And the both can't live in our mind and heart. So when you praise Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all the doubts and fears are about to disappear, at least for the time you're praising Him. And when that begins to occur, something occurs in the transformation process that makes us to, somebody say, no. Somebody say, no, K-N-O-W, I know in whom I have believed. I know He is able. I know He will do that which He promised. I know it. Something happens when you're in His presence that doesn't happen when you're away from His presence. And so when you get into a church service and people begin to praise Him and magnify His name, all of a sudden you feel His presence. Watch this. Do you feel my presence? What are you wanting to do right now? Hug me. You either want to hug me or push me away, right? Or get away, right? Let me tell you something. Watch her. I'm going to remove my presence. What changed in her life? Nothing. She just has a memory. I went to church and I felt His presence. To feel His presence and respond to His presence, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. This is way away from all that God already gave me. The Holy Ghost, when you receive that presence, all of a sudden when you walk out of that service, you don't let that thing go. You say, my God, you came to me today. You're now going to walk out of this building with me today. My enemies are going to be your enemies. My victory is going to be because of your spirit. I am a new creature in Christ. I have been refreshed in my life. A move of God doesn't mean anything. Somebody told me recently, I came to give them a word from God, and they began to tell me how much a prayer meeting they had. They felt His presence and nothing had changed in their life. And I said, you mean to tell me that you felt His presence and nothing changed? How in the world can the creative energy of God appear on the horizon of humanity with weak and pitifulness, and you not all of a sudden realize greater is He now that is in me? Because I realize I was born again. That's not a farce, that's a force. It is a power of God unto salvation. I'm trusting in you now. I'm walking away when this service, and I'm going to remember that you touched me. You came near to me. You love me. Your holiness came to my unholiness. Your righteousness came to my unrighteousness. Your healing came to my weakness. And I'm going to praise you the rest of this day, because now I know again, all over again, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I'm not interested in a memory of God. I'm interested in a transformation of God. And I am interested in that for you. Could we just talk to him right now? Oh, hallelujah. Singers, do y'all know that song, He Touched Me? Could we sing that right now? I'm not interested in going through some sermonette. I'm interested in somebody walking out of here with a heart that's been healed. I'm interested in somebody that came here lonely and fatigued in life, and you got to walk out of here with a brand new testimony. He still lives. He still delivers. He still empowers. If you came in here with a broken heart, that's not a problem. We've all had those. And if we get that far in the lesson, you'll see some stuff. But if the lady with the issue of blood could drag glory out of the hem of a garment, how much glory could we drag out of the word of anointing? Hallelujah.
He touched me.
You take your liberty in this room. This class is about getting you and him together so that your future is unblighted. I don't care what you drug in here today. He said, cast your cares on me, because I care. And he's not waiting to prove it later. He proved it when he drug himself and his cross to Golgotha.
He touched me.
Halabahoyanda.
Oh, he touched me. And oh,
if God's done something for you, why don't you join those that are standing in praise? Let's let him loose in this house today. This stormy day is going to go down in history. Somebody is going to catch the wings of the morning, the Bible says. Sing it again, singers. Oh, he touched me.
Oh, he touched me. Oh,
the joy that fills my soul. Something is going to happen. It's happening now. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
He touched me.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him for this interlude. God, thank you because you've manifest yourself already. Thank you because you have already manifest your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me remind you of a message God gave me probably 25 years ago that I shared with this church. Some of you might remember it. The secret of the farmer. How in the world does the farmer sit in the coffee shop or enjoy his breakfast this morning when he heard the storm last night? The genius of the seed is not in the farmer. The control of the weather is not in the farmer. The farmer knows once he turns the seed over to the soil, God's going to do the rest. So he goes to the coffee shop on a blistering hot day. He goes to the coffee shop and he laughs with his friends because he knows there's little chance that the crop won't come through. But if it does have a failure one year, he don't quit planting because he knows the law of the harvest is more times than not, I'm going to get a crop. And so if you don't get everything you want right now, let me tell you, rest in peace, sweetheart. He is the great God that keeps every seed growing. He is the great God that keeps every cloud moving. He is the great God that feeds the clouds. And I think I told you this here a while back because it mystified me one day. I was just looking at a cloud. And a matter of fact, I think maybe my wife asked me, said, I wonder how much a cloud weighs. And I said, I don't know, but let me check. Well, it's over 1,000,000 pounds. Let's just be safe right there. The cloud weighs over 1,000,000 pounds. Who puts that water up there to be able to feed massive seeds so seeds could grow and become the harvest so you could have food? I'm telling you, every good and perfect gift cometh from above the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And he's watching you, sir, and he's watching you. He watched you when you got ready, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to give you something to feed that man, and you just be sure you're ready to get it, Mama. Stand up. Receive. That's it. Sit down. Don't have all day to watch you. Come on, folks. I'm here to tell you, we're not just going to the church. We are the church. We're going to the house of God, where the God of the house is going to feed our hungry soul. He's going to feed our mind. He's going to feed our spirit. He is a God of plenty. He is, if he's anything, he's a God of plenty. And he's got plenty for you. He's got plenty for me. He's not bankrupt. He's not on shy rationing. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not. And he that abideth in the doctrine of the teachings of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I marvel at people that get all mixed up in this stuff. You know, here's what the Scripture says, okay? Again, it's not hard. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Watch this now. Giving glory to God and the Father by him. If he's not one, how could you glorify one or all positions he took by just using the name? So when you use the name of Jesus, you got them all covered. As the source, he was Father. As the Holy Ghost, he is the Comforter. But it's all when you use the name of Jesus, you give thanks to God and the Father by him. That's not hard for me to understand. I mean, if I want to try to make it fit my cranium, it's hard, forget it. But that's why you need faith. Now, if there come any, somebody say any, unto you, and bring not this doctrine, and neither what? That doesn't mean you can't pray for every church. But to try to act like every church is producing what this world needs, God loves the world. That's how he found me. He that biddeth him Godspeed. What? Well, I don't reckon it really makes any difference. He's God over all, through all, and in you all. No. He that receiveth the teachings, the doctrines, that's important. You may have got your start out there in some honky-tonk, like one of my friends. That's where he got. Somebody started quoting the word to him in a honky-tonk. He received it. Wound up getting out of the honky-tonk, and now he's on a, hallelujah, on a bench, praising the name, praising the Spirit, praising the truth, worshiping with everything inside him. Storms and wars and unrest and darkness. Those are the things that are happening all around each one of us. All that happens creating unrest and fear. I wish somebody would quote the rest of that. I hear somebody trying to mumble something. Boy, there's one thing my dad would get on to me about. Don't mumble. I wish you'd tell yourself right now, I can overcome what I'm going through. Not only can I overcome what I'm going through, I am going to overcome because I don't provide the power, but I'm going to receive the power. I'm going to receive any forgiveness I need. I'm going to receive any mercy I need. I'm going to receive any wisdom I need. I am going to be an overcomer. And here's why I'm stressing that. The people that are going to enjoy His eternal city, to him that overcomes will I give to sit with me in my Father's throne. To him that overcomes. Don't let nobody mess you up and say because you got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues, you're going to heaven. You got the power to go, but you got to put the car in gear if you're going anywhere. Getting the Holy Ghost is one thing, but let me tell you what the Bible said, that heaven rejoices over a sinner that repents. Because he knows if you really repent of this history and you start following him, you will talk in tongues. You will get baptized in his name. You will have power to overcome the enemy. You will do it because if you get into a repentant state and sick of who you've been and sick of what your history has been and who you've been listening to and what you've been listening to, you're going to start listening to him. And so heaven loves it when somebody says, I'm turning from my ways. I'm turning to live him. I'm going to live in Christ. I'm going to be a new creature. I've got all things are going to become new. Because he makes every day new. Y'all preaching me to death. I thought I had a well-outlined Bible study that would just sort of help us. I promised myself I wasn't even going to get loud today. Storms that create unrest and fear can and will. How many of you finally get through the night? Wow. Jonah overcame the storm of storms. Anybody here ever gotten swallowed by a fish? I mean, it's bad enough to fall in the lake, right? J.R. Caldwell lived over here in Princeton. Thank you. I have to keep her because my memory's slipping by time. J.R. and J.M. and Leland, all brothers. Boy, they were a mischievous trio, believe me. And J.R., it was like just unthinkable. And so he was always pulling jokes on the rest of the family. Like, do you remember cotton picking days when people wrapped their own cigarettes? And that little paper. J.R. would take, and you know, a lot of people picked or pulled cotton barefooted. And he would take that little paper on the break and stick it between their big toe and the next toe and light it on fire. It was just enough to get their attention. But he did enough of that stuff that one day he dropped his watch out of the boat and J.M. had it with him. J.M. watched J.R. jump over the side of the boat, and J.M. took off in the boat and come at him just flying, right at him. Didn't turn. If J.R. wouldn't have gone underwater, we would not know about J.R. J.R. said, man, I sunk down as fast as I could, only to find that boat headed at me again. Yeah, that's some of my kinfolk. J.R. got himself in a bind, but I can tell you it would have been worse for J.R. if he'd had a fish get him while he was under there. You know, it was bad enough to see a boat. But Jonah, when he went under, he didn't come up. He didn't come up to scream and holler, "Man, y'all come back and get me." He was in the storm of storms. And I have seen some of my friends get overwhelmed by what they got into. And they thought there was no way out. But I want to tell you something. David said it first. He said, "Though I make my bed in hell, his presence can reach my hell." This man, the book says, in the belly of hell cried I. So I don't care what you're going through, let your heart and your faith reach out and say, "God, if Jonah, who never knew what it was to have the Holy Ghost, who never knew what it was to speak in tongues and have a church like this church, he never knew that. But God, if he cried out in the middle of his hell and you delivered him, you will deliver me, because you are changing not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't want to live in any more hell. I'm willing to concede anything I am to have your joy and your victory in my life." I wish we'd pray right now. Now, Jesus Christ, and you'd have to study it, and I encourage you, if your faith has gotten weak, first of all, read the book of Luke. Because this joining a church has gotten to be an epidemic. A faith in the master life. Somebody say, Jesus is the master life. God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the book. Straight out of the book. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he tasted death for every one of us. I'm telling you, he went to hell and took the keys, so you could have the keys. So you could get out anytime you want to get out. I promise you, you've got the key, and that is faith in Jesus Christ's life. Not in joining up with him mentally. Not in joining up with him and going to some church that talks about him. Joining up with him in spirit and in truth. That's the only thing that's going to get us out of jail free. And that is the blood, the word, the name, and the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have one thing to worry about. If you can get it today that he ever liveth to make intercession for every one of us, you can give your kids hope. You can give your grandkids hope. You can give your great-great-grandkids hope. He is the one and mighty God, and he ever liveth to make intercession with you. And he's praying right now while you and I are at church. God, let them get it. Let the Spirit move on them. Let the Holy Ghost move on them. Let their flesh be revealed as weak and vulnerable. Let them see the light. Now, when you deal with the Almighty, life is not threatened by the author of life. Those that have eternal life. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost, that spirit is that eternal nature that by giving into it over and over, over and over, over and over, faith overcomes the fear of the flesh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And that's why we need more preaching, so that our desire to overcome becomes greater than our worry and our fear and our hurts and our pain. He is still the healer. He is still the deliverer. Either that is a truth or it's not, and all of this is a bunch of fake. There's no heaven and hell if he's not a healer. There's no heaven and hell if he's not a deliverer. There's no heaven and hell. All you got to see is one person delivered to know
know he's a deliverer. All you got to do is see one person healed to know he's a healer, because we can't heal ourselves. It is the Lord that healeth thee of all thy diseases. And he's here today, and he's trying to help you and me to get rid of every doubt, every fear, every carnal thought, so that we can have the liberty that belongs to the kingdom, so that the church can be the light of the world. I wish somebody that's been healed would stand up and shout out hallelujah about 3 or 4 times. I want you to look around. He's still the healer. He's still the healer. Be seated again. We're gonna let the devil see what's happening. Anybody ever been delivered from an addiction? Would you stand and shout hallelujah 3 or 4 times? I don't care if it was lying. I don't care if it was cheating. If you've ever been delivered from an addiction, I'm telling you, he's still a deliverer. He is able to give everything we need. Weeping may endure for a night. He's not unaware. He's not unaware that you got 2 kids that are made out of flesh. Look at those people. Now, he's got 2 of the finest kids, so please don't just remember this. But are either one of them ever done anything that broke your old heart? I mean, just like, I'll never forget the first time my daughter lied to me. I didn't think that could happen in a preacher's house. Karanda lied to me, and I'm like, oh my God. I must have lost my confidence, my ability to teach. Well, since then, I've had to learn how to have it healed real regular. Because a lot of people lie to me. Brother Meyer, I love you, and then they turn around and do crazy things, and I know, uh-oh. Either they got lied to or I got lied to. You ever had things on your job that were just a little bit big?
Yes, sir.
Did either one of you ever overcome those obstacles? If you overcame, I want you to lift your hands and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now listen, if these 2 pitiful looking fellas can get that, what's the problem? I want to tell you, your problem is no problem for the problem solver. Your problem is no problem for the redeemer of all mankind. Your problem is no big deal. I'm telling you what you're going through. Our God is able. Now watch Jesus here. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the Lord has already given a command to the spirit kingdom. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain. In the first month, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. You got to read the rest of Joel to understand what a pitiful time they were going through. You got to understand that we're not the first crew that ever has faced the devil. We're not the first crew that's ever faced disappointments. We're not the first crew that's ever faced a bunch of stuff. But God is able. I wish you'd tell your wife, friend, or whoever you're sitting close to, God is able. God is able. He's not bankrupt. He's not short-handed. He sees what we're going through. And if we'll just give in to him, he's fixing to light up your life. He's fixing to send a revival like our world has never known. The floor shall be full of wheat. Somebody say, the floor shall be full of wheat. I wish you'd emphasize that shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will, to who? Don't he make it all? You have sinned, but you are going to have restoration. You are going to have joy. It's all personal, and whosoever will, let him come. Whoever wants to take it personally, let him get in on it. It's a personal issue with him. He is here for you, mama. He's here for you, sweetheart. He's here for you, sweet baby. I'm here to tell you, he's here for you. He's not here for the other people. Don't worry about what they're doing. You get what you got coming to you. He is here to feed you, not the crowd. He feeds one lady. Take it personal. You shall eat in and be. If he's lying, we don't have nothing to worry about. you die, you just get cold and that's it. But if he's telling the truth, you want to make sure you've got the wedding garment on when they bury you.
Amen.
Well, I thought there's probably 20 or 30 that believe that.
You shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord. You know why we try to dig that up? We want us to remember why that we are here. We're here to praise him because he hath called us out of the world into his marvelous light. He hath given us bread enough and to spare. He is the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? He said, I'm going to tell you, you may have walked in here with a load of sins that's unthinkable. But if you'll just repent and turn your life to God by faith, I'm here to tell you healing is fixing to start right now. I wish somebody would say, I can handle that. I can handle some healing to what my heart's been going through. I can handle some healing to what my brain's been tested on. I can handle some healing on my soul. I can handle some of that. Somebody quote John 10, was it 10 and 10? The thief cometh not, but for to kill, steal, and destroy. You don't want to wait till he breaks in your house to watch out the window. You don't want to wait till he takes another kid and puts them in unbelief until you start talking about what God's doing in your life. Our kids need to hear about the Savior. And then if they can hear about the Savior, they can believe the business about the thief. That thief has got plans. And you say, well, he's not in the house yet. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. To entertain one doubt leaves one part of your life dark. To let fear begin to rule and reign in your life is to entertain one dark area where he's watching for. If he can see a dark window, unbelief, here's what the Bible said. You ready for it? James 4, 6, 16 and 17. Somebody read verse 17 to us. James 4 and 17. I want you to see this. Somebody say, one dark spot. That's all the thief's looking for. A spot that has not been challenged by light. Brother Matt, I see you shaking your head. He's a policeman. It don't take a whole wide open house for people to break in, does it? Y'all see it all the time, and we need to pray for our officers of the law. I'm telling you, they are undergoing severities right now that we never dreamed they would undergo. Matter of fact, while he's looking that up, let's pray for Brother Matt and all of your brothers and people on the squad, Brother Matt. We're praying for y'all right now. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over the officers of the law, those men that are custodians of the city, those men that try to keep the peace in our city, those men that work hard and jeopardize their life to keep the peace of our city. God, may we always entreat them and be what we are supposed to be to them and bless them and strengthen them in all of their deeds. Let them know the church is behind them in Jesus' name, even when we speed a little. What did you find it? Who's looking it up? Okay. Read James 4 and 17. Hold on. Read 18. Is it got 18? Maybe I'm in the wrong chapter. Let's see what we got going here. Where is it? There's 17. Therefore, I wanted you to read 16.
But now you rejoice in your boastings. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin.
Is that a mind-blowing setting? Verse 17, almost every member of any church can quote verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is evil, sin. But he said, rejoice not in your boastings. And it took me a while of praying to get that one. But the simple fact is, if you had a victory yesterday, don't get carried away with the victory yesterday. Don't rejoice in your boastings. You've already got that one under. You got it? I think you got it. Isn't that amazing? Did you see the light? Come on. Let them see your eyes. The Bible said the eyes, the candle of the body. There you go. You heard it. Not like a little sheep drinking fresh water. Ladies and gentlemen, don't rejoice in your victories of yesterday that you forget that the same one that gave you that victory is going to give you victory right now. Because he said to know that he is God Almighty, he hath done good, and he is going to do good. He is an ever-present. There is no variableness in him. He don't do good for you yesterday and not do the same thing for you today. He is going to do it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Praise him every day. Praise him every day. Praise him in the middle of what you're going through. Praise him all the time. Because if the same God that gave you the first victory, don't rejoice in all the things you did yesterday. That is to build your faith for whatever you go through today. All right. Now, this is the home after the thief gets rid of it. Anybody ever had your home broke into? Man, I'm telling you, it's a nightmare. I'll never forget when that thief broke in here and knocked 10 of our doors down in this church house. I went in my office. They had ransacked my whole desk. I felt so violated. But you know what? It wasn't very long until God gave me a victory over all that. And so they tried to do it again. They didn't get as far. It is a sick feeling to walk in and find your clothes all torn up. But it's a sicker feeling yet when the thief gets a hold of your kids. Gets a hold of your wife. So what do we do? What we are obligated to do is to prepare and build alarm systems in our life so that we sense. I don't want the world getting ahead of the church. You know, it just bothers me. They've developed all kind of sensors and things that they can sense somebody coming up to your house and lights start going on. Well, God's got some built-in stuff in the Holy Ghost and in the Word that will give us sensors when we see disobedience working in somebody. We know right then there's a dark spot. When there's a lack of praise and worship, we know right then there is a certain level of unbelief or lack of reception, because the Bible said praying always in the Spirit. Prayer is not just a solicitation deal. Praying is just simple communication. And mothers and dads and families need to stay in communication. And we certainly ought to stay in communication with the light of the world. How does God speak to us? Somebody say, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. When you see a foreign thought getting in your mind, you know the devil's planting a seed. When you see a thought getting in your mind that is coming from the healing of God Almighty, you know the Lord's speaking to you. It's not some strange, weird deal, but I'm telling you, it makes me sick to see the so-called church of today weaker than some of those people that never had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. I'm here to preach to you a faith that God is speaking all day long to your victory. He is speaking all day long against the enemy that's coming in to terrorize your life and terrorize your soul. Don't tell me we can't do something about it. We can pray when we can't do anything. We can touch the hem of his garment when we don't have anything else going for us. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. And we are living in a needy society, and the thief is coming to try to steal, kill and destroy, but we're not going to let it. I wish somebody said, we're not going to let it happen. We're going to preach our preacher to death if we have to. We're going to preach that preacher more times than we need it if we have to, but we're going to have apostolic revival. We're going to have apostolic outpouring. We're going to have apostolic homes. We're going to have apostolic cars. We're going to have cars that are full.
to think that the church is getting weaker because of time and because of darkness. Read Zechariah the 14th chapter. In the evening time, when the sun is setting on this generation, when evil men wax worse and worse, the light's going to get stronger. I'm not trying to force anything on you. I'm preaching because I am so excited about the possibility of every one of us. Nobody's trying to damn anybody here. Nobody's trying to damn or condemn. The Bible said that I came not to condemn the world. He said, I came to give light. I came to make understanding real, possible, and powerful. Look at this one. Friends are not always friends. Anybody that encourages you to be disappointed and discouraged to the level where that you don't praise is not a friend. Anybody that says, well, I'll tell you, there's others that have backslid. And I certainly understand where you are. I almost backslid myself. Friends that don't look at you. Brother Mike, come here real quick. I learned this in my marriage. Lean on me. You're not leaning on me. You're just using your own two feet. You're just trying to touch me. Leaning on me is to trust me. Now, I used to come home working out in the field, and my wife said, where you been? What? What do you mean, where I been? I've been preaching. Preaching to all the people that wouldn't come to church. Visiting. You just call it visiting. I call it preaching. And she'd lean on me. And for the life of me, I kept thinking she's trying to push me out of leadership. She wants to be the head of the house. Somebody say a foreign spirit. She didn't marry me to be the head of the house. She married me to be a man. She needed somebody to lean on. When her emotions got uptight, she needed a strength. And so she would lean on me. And I misunderstood it. And here's what I tried to do. It don't work. No. You lean on the Word. Let that pressure go over. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Go ahead, lean on me. We are only substantiated with what's happening in this world by the unchanging Word over here. And the world is not trying to get rid of your doctrine. They're not trying to get rid of your holiness. They're not trying to get rid of your dedication to Jesus. They're leaning on us right now, but not trying to get rid of us. They want to see how strong this thing is. And God's letting us be tested in front of them to see if we're trusting in Him or flesh. And we're not going to be able to endure against all of this stuff. So you want to make sure that your true friendships, now that's the people that you have inner heart relationship with. Now look at this guy. Somebody say before. And after that, whoever wrote that got it backwards. They didn't really. This was a guy that had it going, and the enemy talked him out of living clean. This is a true before and after. He was clean, and he went evil. Do you think he looks better for his drug addiction and his alcoholism? No. He had it going, but the devil told him he didn't. Has anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. I'm just talking to you that you and I need to really understand. Look at this house. That's the before. And this, actually it's before and after. But after they had the storm, this is the result. They were able to make it greater. I promise you that God's going to do that with your life. If you've had a storm come, your life is fixing to get greater because the restorer is coming to your world. The restorer. Somebody say the restorer. He never leaves anything the way it was. When he comes to work in your life, he always makes it better. What time is it?
Feels like I've been preaching over 30 minutes. Come on, let's stand. Singers, sing. Jesus, I want you to see that though. Jesus had plenty of scars. He had plenty of scars on his body, but not one scar on his spirit, because his spirit was pure. Don't let the scars of your flesh affect your spirit. He will heal. The scars are a reminder that he will heal everything. All over this building, let's just praise him as the singers sing and this altar's open. If you've come to this building today and you want to receive a touch of the heaven, there are men and women all over this building that will join their hands and hearts with you. I know I've preached hard. You got a vicious enemy out there that would do anything he could to steal your friends, your family, and your own soul. And you got a pastor up here today that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance or a change of mind. Sing it, singers. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for the covenant that you made with the redeemed. I will never leave you. Don't let the devil steal your faith today. Your faith is the connect point with all that you're dreaming about. Your faith is the capability to reach into your future. Call on the Lord. If you've got a need at all anywhere in your life, call on him right now. You don't have to come to the altar for any of that. He said his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He hears the cry of our soul today.